Hello, dear listeners. Just a short pre-show announcement. We are currently going through some significant changes at the moment, and so we haven't been able to dedicate our usual amount of time to the show. We will still be outputting content as we talk a little bit more about in the show, but for now, it's a bit of a lighter production affair. We also have had some small audio issues as a result of some of the more quick pacing that we're doing to get these episodes out. So I apologize for some small audio hiccups you'll hear throughout the episode. But with that, please enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to a very special, not special,
a very filler. Unspecial.
Yeah, very unspecial. So, full disclosure and context of what we're doing, this is recorded the day after we recorded the Persona 4 episode for the end of 2021. We may potentially have some downtime at some point where one or both of us will be incapable of making a full episode happen. And, we might have a filler episode anyway. This might end up going up as an extra bonus thing, but we wanted to record something and I wanted to say something. So this is what this is going to be. This is going to be in X minutes, probably longer than 10, hopefully shorter than 30 minute rant about something that keeps coming back year after year that Rowan and I have had very brief discussions on that we both seem to agree on. And it is just cutting straight to the point. Trying to touch on the conversation of difficulty in the modern FromSoft Dark Souls / Bloodborne games. Because for anyone who is uninitiated, every time a new FromSoft game comes out these days, like right now, when we're recording, we are in the post Elden Ring network test phase where this conversation has already resurfaced of FromSoft needs to make these games more accessible. They need to add difficulty options.
And the big game, I think, this year for the difficulty discussion, though, was Metroid Dread.
Yep.
There was a lot of discussion about the difficulty of that game specifically and its lack of options regarding said difficulty.
So there are going to be a few points that I want to touch on. But yeah, just as a heads up front, this is going to be very different. This is not structured in any way. We are kind of meeting on an off day and just recording very stream of consciousness and a discussion between us.
Yeah.
What we think about this thing.
So what do you think about difficulty in Dark Souls Blue?
Here's a cop-out answer. It's nuanced. There are a lot of factors at play. So I want to head this off at the pass, effect, so to speak. There is one thing I absolutely think that needs to be more of an accessibility thing in all games, not just Dark Souls, specifically for Metroid Dread, this was a missing component. Basic accessibility in my mind are things like controller remapping, getting rid of button mashing as an option. Why can't you just hold a button, right? Things that physically stop you from playing the game, we should be moving past that, especially because so much structure has been built around accessibility that it's not free. Devs still need to consider it. Developers still need to spend time on it. But it's not redesigning the game anymore. It is, how does this play with the accessibility controller? What do people with accessibility need? Well, they need to maybe, not do repetitive motions super fast, like 30 times a second.
And honestly, no adult needs to do that. Like, hands are delicate beasts that we need to respect.
Absolutely. So that's point number one that I really want to hit here. Accessibility, remapping of buttons on a controller. I don't really see any problem. Any reasons to not go for it.
Accessibility the physical enabling of enabling people to do these things physically. That's not what we're talking about today.
No, absolutely not. Because
that's obviously a pro. We want that. Everyone wants that.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And now where we start talking a bit slower.
Yeah, the controversial bit.
Because, so a lot of people say that Dark Souls, it is like tropified and known as a hard game. And the meme is, this is the Dark Souls of X, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Dark Souls of racing, this is the Dark Souls of fighting games, etc. And I understand where that reputation comes from, but I don't think people are interacting with it on a genuine level.
Mm.
So what do I mean by that? One of the common things that people ask for is, give us a difficulty setting. Easy, normal, hard. I feel that already exists in the game. Difficulty settings of easy, normal, hard already exist in the game. but it's not an a menu selection option. It is how you play the game. It is about knowledge. It's about learning the game. And this ties into something else that is very like closely related to this, which is just video game literacy. I think knowing how to read a video game is a skill. For anyone who's ever tried to teach a parent or, you know, an elder relative or even someone who's never played video games, for someone who is completely new to video games, for anyone who's tried to put a controller in their hands and try to teach them what to do, you will know this. There is a language barrier from just trying to play a video game.
And that barrier is, like, we can think of it as just like there's the raw no games games barrier. That's one barrier. Mm. But then there's also like things like genre conventions, and this can range from like, oh, in Asian countries there is this preference for control inputs, in Western countries there's this preference.
Example, I will actually give you a like concrete example there. Asian countries, when I put my hand on a keyboard for a game, my fingers default to arrow keys ZXC.
Yep. And a lot of Western players don't rock that. And there was even a bit off topic here, but Reseteer, an indie game, had a lot of issues on its launch because
people weren't putting their fingers in the right place.
Yeah, and a lot of people like complained they couldn't remap it because that was the expectation on how a game should be played, but it was made in a culture where that is not the expectation. The expectation is that you shouldn't be using a mouse.
Yeah, 100%. So there is kind of this level of Dark Souls looks like a Western game. But it's not. It's really not. It is so steeped in Japanese game development that it's not immediately obvious because of its presentation. So this is one of the things that I think are tripping people up. But having said all that, this is about game literacy. And what I mean by this is a lot of people don't understand what they're looking at with Dark Souls. And I'm going to call out the other side on this. I'm going to, in air quotes that you can't see, the diehard Dark Souls community that responds with just get good, that's not helping things.
Except because there's that Dark Souls community that is
and then there's the actual Dark Souls community who,
which
when
is
you
so
say
so helpful, and like the moment you ask anything like, oh, I had so much difficulty with that part too, I found this and this really worked, maybe you should try
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. So the quote unquote diehard community that just on Twitter go GIT/GUD, completely not helpful. You're a detriment to everyone in video games. Stop doing that. Just literally stop doing that. That doesn't help anyone. That's gatekeeping. That's bad. Because the real Dark Souls fans, the ones who enjoy the game, enjoy what the game gave them and want to share that with people, they know that learning the language of Dark Souls is crap. It's homework. It's boring in a lot of ways. Because learning how to read their super convoluted old school stat screen is annoying. So video game literacy, going back to this point, right? A lot of times in modern video games, when you see a screen that you don't understand, you can skip past it because you can expect the developer's assumption to be you don't need to know it yet. And when you need to know it, you will know it because the game will teach you, right? That's actually a thing that a lot of people do, whether consciously or not, in modern video games. And that's very good because that means that we can give players something that they don't have to think about now, but then they can go back. It's like foreshadowing for mechanics, right?
Hmm. And when they replay the game, they will be able to go into it immediately and know what the menu is.
Absolutely. And that's really, really good. That's actually not how Dark Souls works. And whether that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. That's a bit more ambiguous, right?
It is a choice that they made that has pros and cons. And
absolutely. And I think we can get to some of the pros and cons a bit later. But, you know, just trying to finish up this part here is just learning this is a shared experience among all Dark Souls players, right? Everyone I've ever seen learning and teaching Dark Souls has gone, yeah, this stat screen sucks. You just have to know that this does this and this does this. And all of that is just built on the foundation of people that have come before us, players that have come before us, to know what it does and then teach the next generation. And there's like a certain kind of beauty in that. But why am I bringing this up? Because this is actually where a lot of the difficulty in Dark Souls lies. This is where you can modulate it as a player. The stat screen. The Dark Souls is a stat-driven RPG, even though it doesn't look like it. You keep hearing about things like this, you know, so-and-so did a no-hit, like no-damage run, wasn't hit even once, with no levels, never leveled up. That's a testament to the flexibility of the game that you can do that you can play with such precision that you don't make any mistakes and can go through any challenge the game throws at you. That is not how the game is designed, though. The game is designed for you to creep up in power quite significantly. The game is designed for you to quadruple, quintuple, multiply your power levels by 10 by the end of the game. So what happens when you don't understand how to distribute your stats on the stat screen and you aren't able to participate in that part of the game? You start to find it hard. So that's one aspect of why Dark Souls is hard, because the stat screen is relatively unforgiving in that traditional RPG sense where you can't cheaply remap it. Dark Souls 3 actually has a reset function for your stats. You can only do it so many times per new game plus. You know, so they're already thinking of building in these accessibility things. And from what I understand, to the devs, this is accessibility, not a menu option that says easy, normal, hard, right? This rebuy option, I want to also stress, in Dark Souls 3, is placed in the middle of the game. It's not available for you at the start. So you can try to like go, I don't feel like it. They want you to try to commit to something, because chances are when you commit to something in Dark Souls, it'll work. If you put in enough points to it, it'll work. Dark Souls is a min-max game, right? It likes you putting all your points into specific things. You get everything up to a base level, and then everything else goes into the thing that makes you really good at what you're doing. How much of this, for anyone who's struggled with Dark Souls before, how much of this did you know is my question right now, right? Because the game doesn't tell you this. But this is actually how you make Dark Souls easier for yourself. You get more stat points. This is the built-in difficulty modulation. You grind. You go and run Souls before a boss. You just farm an area over and over again, and you level up. And unfortunately, the game doesn't teach you this necessarily.
But this is one of those video game literacy things.
When you get stuck in a JRPG, what do? You grind, right?
And honestly, in this modern day and age of service games, Warframes, Destinies, and all that stuff, grinding is the primary solution to most problems.
So I don't know why people just look at a boss in Dark Souls, go, I can't beat it, and then decide they can never beat it.
And to be a little, you have more experience with this than me, but even if you did grind a lot, it takes a lot to fully erase the challenge. There's no
there is no trivializing a challenge in Dark Souls ever.
Yeah, which is great.
You can stack the deck in your favor, but you can never trivialize a challenge. If you want a game that allows you to trivialize a challenge, play Final Fantasy, right? That's not what Dark Souls is here to do. Dark Souls will always be a challenge no matter how high in your levels you get. What levels afford you is mistakes. And this is a big way for games to modulate difficulty, allowing more mistakes. In fact, some games go so far as to let you buy the ability to make mistakes. That's what you do when you buy more turns on Candy Crush. You made a mistake, and therefore you need more chances.
This is an impromptu thought, but I don't know if it's right. So in Dark Souls, I know that you have different amounts of evasiveness based on the armor you're wearing.
The weight of your equipment, yes.
Yeah, so players could decide that I'm no good at dodging, so I'm just going to take the affordance of I will just tank a little more because I would get hit anyway. Is that the kind of payoffs that you might think about in this game, or is that totally unreasonable?
I've run a couple of builds in Dark Souls 3. I'm not a huge Dark Souls player. I've played maybe just over 100 hours.
Compared to me, you're a Dark Souls player.
Yeah. But I've maybe played over 100 hours. I finished one base run of Dark Souls 3. So you have the quality of armor, and that's therefore how much damage you take, right, from being hit. But there's also a stat called poise, which decides whether or not you get knocked back, whether you flinch, whether you get knocked to the ground when you take a hit. And heavier armor gives you more poise. So you can totally decide, I'm not dodging well in this game against this boss. Let's see what happens if I just stack armor and poise. You'll still get hit and you'll still get knocked down, but you will afford yourself more mistakes. And it's such a satisfying feeling to just charge an attack and go through the boss's attack and then knock them down. Because that's totally a thing that happens as well. Dodge windows is a very, very interesting thing you bring up. A lot of people think that, the only way to play Dark Souls is to dodge through attacks. It's certainly one of the skills that the game wants you to pick up. But there are plenty of skills that the game wants you to pick up that you can actually get by without ever doing. In Dark Souls, and so in comparison, Bloodborne doesn't have as much focus on this. In Dark Souls, the game really wants you to parry every now and then. Not for every encounter, not for every boss, but parrying is a very powerful mechanic. Holding up your shield is a very powerful ability that you have. And I do almost none of this in my playthrough, and you can get through just fine because I like dodging. I play a lot of Devil May Cry. Dodge is my home. Dodging into attacks is my natural inclination. But, find what works for you in Dark Souls and kind of do it. There are talks about what if their Dark Souls has an assist mode a la Celeste and Forza Horizon 5, where you can just slow time and time scale down.
Or like increase parry windows and things like that.
Increased parry windows is actually built into the game. Some shields are better at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Like, yeah, this is just, that's what I mean. This stuff is kind of in the game. There are rings that increase your dodge window.
Mm-hmm. It's just all like in universe, in systems, not an arbitrary menu.
And I think that's brilliant, right? We always talk about ludonarrative dissonance and how, you know, sometimes the game story has to take a backseat to game mechanics in order for a player to get through. Well, you want a ludonarrative resonance, which is a term we've thrown around before. Dark Souls is really, really good at that. And not all of this accessibility is available early on, but hopefully it's there by the time you hit a block. Now, here's another thing I want to say that I really desperately want people to hear about Dark Souls. I believe you can beat this boss. Whatever boss you're stuck on, I believe you could beat it. I don't. Like, there are always problem bosses in Dark Souls. And there are always bosses that, like, people notoriously get stuck on. But I think they've been getting better. The mainline boss encounters that you have to face are getting better. Dark Souls 3 isn't perfect with this. There is, I think there is one wall. It took me, like, 8 hours to beat. And that's a lot of time, right? That's a lot of time that a lot of people don't have to, like, dedicate to this. But that's, to me, that was the game, right? Like, this grinding of, like, playing this was the game. It's not about I don't have the dodge window. It's not about the bosses attack are too fast, because they're not. They definitely are beatable.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but like Dark Souls, like when we talked about accessibility in Persona 4 right before recording this episode, and one of the things is like motions and like fighting games, like pressing 18 million inputs, doing quarter circles, half circles, pretzel motions. There are no pretzel motions in Dark Souls, right?
There is one garbage leftover artifact of game control that I think they really need to reconsider, which is tap forward. So not hold forward, but tap forward and light attack to do the kick.
Oh, yeah. But other than that, all the inputs are relatively like press the button to do the thing. Dark Souls is...
Or hold down a thing. Yeah.
And the distinctive thing about Dark Souls combat is that it's slow. Deliberate. It's weighty. It's deliberate. It's not like pressing a lot of buttons to do a rapid flurry of slashes. And I think that means that on the physical side, like it is, Dark Souls is demanding and it expects precision, but it's not demanding in that it expects a lot of immediate, successive, perfect actions, right?
And it is so in on precision as a concept that is central to the game of like your motions, your actions as a character have to be precise, that it punishes you for spamming the button. So if you mash dodge because you think you're going to get hit and you're not trying to time it correctly, when you get hit because you didn't time it correctly, it'll buffer a dodge so that when you recover from being hit, you just automatically dodge, which might be bad because that might set you up to get hit again. So the game wants you to think about when you're pressing it and pressing it like deliberately. It buffers your inputs in a bad way if you do it, like if you're just mashing certain buttons. And
it's things like mashing rapid successive inputs and things that are the big accessibility issue that a game can have, I think, more so than just this raw request of precision, because each individual thing you're trying to precisely do isn't that individually difficult.
It's players not reacting to what's on screen, not, you know, learning what is out in front of them. So I guess this kind of brings me to the next point I kind of want to make. One of the reasons a lot of people want to play Dark Souls because they've heard the story is really good, right? It is a true thing. I really like the story and world building in Dark Souls. I think it's really, really good. And there are very many, many different types of players, and like how they want to like experience it are all different. But if you are one of those players who finds that the story and world building of Dark Souls is very cool and fascinating, and you want to like experience more of it, but you don't want to spend 20 or 30 hours learning how to play the game to get there, ask a friend. This is not a condescending thing. Genuinely, ask a friend. One of the things we said earlier in the episode in this recording is that Dark Souls players, the good parts of the community, are so passionate and so happy to talk and show Dark Souls. I love showing Dark Souls to my friend who doesn't care to ever learn to play it. Like, I'm doing a run where I just stream the video to him, and then I go through and I pick up an item and I look at the item description and I say, this is this and this is a reference to this. That is so much fun, right? So if you aren't to get into Dark Souls for the world and the story, don't think you have to play it. Don't think you have to play it. Find someone who wants to.
There's always, and I think like lore streaming is kind of a thing, right? People who play through and described lore, there's an infinite amount of 12-hour Dark Souls lore videos that we'll play through and explain what's going on. And I think those are really valid ways to experience games. If, like, you don't want to participate in them mechanically, don't.
Yeah, if you've tried it and you find the combat not intuitive or satisfying, because here's another thing about the combat in Dark Souls. When you overcome the challenge, there's a huge amount of satisfaction. But if you never cared for that style of combat to begin with, you won't derive anything from that. So you shouldn't need to engage. So here's the thing, right? A lot of people then say, why don't you just make story mode Dark Souls? I'm a bit more on the fence on this one.
It's tricky
one. It's a tricky one. If FromSoft willingly did it without pressure from people, cool. But I don't know. I don't think the game is so hard that this is speaking from a position of privilege of being able to play this game, of having the time to play this game. I don't think the mechanics are so hard that they need to be removed, right? And on the contrary, I don't think the story is so special that, you know, the world is poorer, that there isn't a way to just walk through Dark Souls, because part of the lore of Dark Souls are these champions that you have to face, that you have to face on their terms.
Yeah,
these bosses are core to the narrative,
and they need to be for that to be scary and intimidating. And part of the success of this franchise is that is conveyed wholeheartedly and in every aspect. And there's a sort of infamous quote from, I think it's the Civilization 4 designers, which is, a large part of game design is protecting the player from themselves.
Yeah.
And with a game that has a famous reputation for being difficult, like Dark Souls, I think a lot of people would pick story mode and end up giving themselves an experience that they would not enjoy. And that's a really hard thing to say, because, like, people are like, we should have our own choices. And
yeah,
it's, on one hand, yes, players should choose a lot of things. On the other hand, if you watch people play games enough and, like, people talk about things that they've tried doing, a lot of players do pick things that are ultimately kind of miserable. And it's only when a game pushes them away from that that they end up engaging other parts of it.
Yeah. So for anyone who thinks that they genuinely would benefit from having a story mode in Dark Souls, I will say to you, I think you have the skills to beat it. And where does this come from? This comes from a place where Nier Automata is quite famous for having a story mode. It was a big profile game and was one of the early ones to adopt a purely story mode way of walking through the game, right? So there, I have two experiences related to this. One was when I did story mode, when I did easy mode, so to speak. I had a miserable time. It's really boring. The game is really boring without combat.
To be fair, at least even my opinion of that game, I think that it's still really boring.
Yeah.
When you play it on normal mode, but it's less boring.
There's at least something to engage with mechanically. And then number two, what about the player who isn't game literate? I gave my mother, who has never, you know, who doesn't play video games, because, you know, it's so famous for, like, you know, you can not participate in the combat. Do you know what she got stuck on? Navigation.
Navigating 3D space is hard. Like, it is.
And you can have a map in Nier Automata. You just need to know Dark Souls. You just need to know the space in Dark Souls. It goes back to game literacy. There is this kind of, people don't fully understand what their limits are. And Dark Souls is a game that, like, wants you to challenge your limits. That's why people find satisfaction and triumph in breaking through their limits, because the game challenged it, right? And I'm not saying that, oh, it's just, you know, the game is the game's design. It needs to be that way. It could totally be designed to have a story mode. And I believe that the team of developers at From Software would be able to do this well. But, like, going back and just saying, you know, why doesn't Dark Souls 1 now have an easy mode and stuff? It just, that's not how it was designed. And if you're the kind of person who would have benefited from having an easy mode, you already have the skills to get through Dark Souls. You just don't have the patterns down. That's my very bold claim. This will not apply to everyone. There will be edge cases for some people out there. You are valid. You have a valid relationship to Dark Souls that I cannot fully account for. But I do truly believe that for 95 to 99% of everyone else out there who is clamoring for an easy mode in Dark Souls, I do feel that you haven't engaged the game at the level you want the game to engage you on. You haven't given it its fair shot. You haven't learned from it yet. You haven't gone in and just played it. And this is, a lot of this is by intention. If you recall a quote from Hidetaka Miyazaki, the designer for Dark Souls and the director for Dark Souls, he says that one of the inspirations for the way he designed these games is when he was younger, when he was a kid, when he played Western RPGs, he didn't understand like one out of every three words. And that lent this like great mystique and mystery to the game. And that's
I want to correct you ever so slightly. It's only played, it's only played Western RPGs that he played. He read fantasy books.
There we go. Thank you.
And he wanted the story to replicate that feeling. You're mostly right. I just wanted to.
Thank you for that correction. You're absolutely right. Yes. And you know, this goes back to the Zelda was this replication of like discovering things in your backyard kind of deal. A lot of that mystery and opaqueness is by design and does lend itself to the game.
Yeah, even the menu screen, like it is figuring out how to live in this confusing world. And it's an abrasive choice, and abrasion games are in many ways designed by how they induce friction.
Yeah.
And sometimes they choose not to induce much friction at all. And that's a method, but I think a lot of compelling games are primarily defined by their friction, not by their ease.
Mm-hmm.
Even simple narrative games, their friction is you have to put together what, out of left field example, Return of the Obra Dinn. Mm-hmm. It could just tell you a story about what happened on the boat.
Yep.
It could just be a novel, but it's not. You have to go and meticulously solve this series of puzzles by really looking at these detailed reenactments of people's final moments and trying to put the names of the people to their situations. And that's a lot of friction for a story that probably could be told much easier. And the story is interesting in this context, in that context, because of that friction.
Yeah.
A frictionless Dark Souls is, at the very least, a deeply different experience. And that experience would impact your relationship to that plot, I think.
Yeah. So when there's this disingenuous part of the Get Good community that just say, no, it's part of the game. That's how the game is meant. This is what they mean. Because they understand this like at a core level, but they phrase it so poorly where it's confrontational and it's like daring, like challenging you to be elite or whatever. And that's garbage. That's not at all what the intent of that statement, of a statement like this is.
Mm.
When someone says like, you know, that's the design of the game, like that you should respect the design of the game. There is this very specific emotional connection to a game when you struggle with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And playing games for what they are is something that I think people, it can be a difficult thing because not all games make it clear about what they are actually trying to be.
What they are. Dark Souls is very bad at communicating what it is as a game because on the surface it looks like this, you know, action hack and slashy kind of game. It is.
It's interesting that you present it like that because to me, I see the presentation of Dark Souls as like, that's an RPG. That's like, it's a real-time thing, but like, I see it as that more so than I do.
When you know the language, right? Yeah, when you can see the, yeah.
So for me, like that story, that gap between like difficulty and story did like really throw me off. And honestly, despite being engaged in this conversation, I don't really like these games that much. And I've bounced off them all immediately, basically.
Mm. So that's another, we're talking around a lot of the same points here, right? But another angle for it is, if you think you're missing out, if you want to play Dark Souls because of FOMO, I don't know that it really is this like life-changing experience. It's a good game. I really like it. I really like the world. It's a good game.
And
do I think everyone who ever plays video games should play this? Is this the Citizen Kane of gaming? Not even the Citizen Kane of, not even Citizen Kane is the Citizen Kane of movies. Not everyone who appreciates and watch movies needs to watch that movie.
And I think that now that Dark Souls has been so popular, we see so many different takes on it. Like if you want that weighty combat, then like EA did Star Wars Dark Souls.
Mm, yeah, Jedi Fallen Order is a very good game.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of like different interpretations of this vibe of game if you like the sort of mechanics, but you find the difficulty a bit much. And I think that in this day and age of gaming, there is just so many options.
Yeah.
That like you can find the thing that suits your very specific desires. If like Dark Souls is ultimately too hard, even with its various ways of simplifying itself.
Yeah. I want to go back to if you really think that the story is cool and want to learn more about the story, get someone who loves Dark Souls to talk to you about it. I'm going to say we here, because I'm one of these people. Now, I don't know everything about Dark Souls, but I love the world building in Dark Souls. It's so fun. Now, if that makes you have FOMO, right, then just get over the mechanics part of it. You don't need it. You don't need to play it if you care about the world building. And if you find this like corner of this community that goes, it's the best story ever, you're missing out if you don't play it, but you genuinely just don't engage with it, ignore them.
And if you'd like to experience this in the way that the author maintained, just grab a fantasy novel and put white out on every third word.
Yeah, yeah.
And then read it. And then put it together.
Yeah. So that's our rant. That's my rant. I spoke a lot through this.
You did. As a actual recommendation somewhere to look if you want to get part of this experience, there is a great podcast called Bonfireside Chat at the folks from Duck TV. They also have another like very good podcast that I listen to more than that. But they do sort of work through the Dark Souls and games and really talk about them. And it's more talking than watching. But if you are interested in having an alternate way to get into that, that might be a way to start going about it.
Yeah, so, you know, we am not super sure when this episode will air. So hindsight is 2020. You will have so much more on the Blue and Rowan of
Elden Ring might be out by the time this episode comes out.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This conversation might become relevant again because Elden Ring is likely, to be honest, out by the time this episode comes out. And my main advice to anyone who's listening to this who wants to get into this series, doesn't want to engage in any of it, is challenge your preconceptions about what it means to experience a video game. A lot of people say video games are art. That also means that there's more than one way to engage in it. You don't have to play the video game to experience the artistry in it, the beauty and like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not simplicity, but like the storytelling and world building in Dark Souls is so clean in the way it gets it across. They don't do it with many words. They do it with a lot of like
implication.
Yeah. That is really cool. And none of that, if that is what you're interested in, requires holding a controller. I keep harping on this. I've said this like 10 times in the past like 10 minutes, because that is so much my message here is just...
I'm going to make a comparison. I'm going to use the fact that I spent years studying fine art for this. So,
yeah, go.
When you look at many great artworks, if you've seen pictures of the Mona Lisa, Van Gogh's artworks and things, you can look at the digital picture and it's fine. It's great even. Like, you can get 90% of what's going on there. If you see them in person, I've had the luxury of like being able to see a number of like Van Gogh's works in person, and you can see like the thickness of the brush strokes. That's nice. It adds to the work potentially. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like I don't have a fundamentally different experience of Van Gogh's artworks by having seen his self-portraits in person and seeing the thickness of those brushstrokes. Those brushstrokes are the gameplay, to some extent. Like,
yeah.
Or can be viewed as that, in a sense. Like, you can experience a lot of this thing through the, like, digital representation by watching it passively. And if you have the chance to experience it by participating in the gameplay too, that will enhance things, perhaps. But it is not the only way to experience that. And accessibility, like fine artworks, run into this problem a lot. Like, how do you make great artists' works accessible? This is where like descriptions come in. This is exactly the role that like all these YouTube lore videos come into. Like, they are describing and giving you as much as they can to help you get on board with it when you can't access it yourself in all these different ways. But, like, yeah, lots of movies have like the audio description track for those who cannot actually watch them.
Yep. This has gone on long the tooth. I think we're talking around ourselves.
We're supposed to have a 30-minute time limit, and we're nearly 40 minutes.
So I'm not really going to do a summary, but in summary, we talked about Dark Souls. I hope that this gives you perspective if you are in the middle of all of this. If you find yourself as someone who says get good, reconsider that moment, like when you go to type that in. I don't think any of our listeners do that, though. Our listeners are good listeners.
Find ways to enjoy games in ways that work for you.
Yeah, that's it. That's the message, right? In the vehicle of Dark Souls, that is the message of this. We apologize ahead of time if this ends up replacing an episode, or there might be multiple of these kinds of like pre-recorded rant things that are low-ish effort for us, like, you know, just thoughts that we've had in our heads for like arguments fully formed that don't have a space in a typical Platforms and Pitfalls. This is a bit preachy, which is not the kind of direction we want Platforms and Pitfalls to be in, right? Hopefully this makes up for it if that is the case. Otherwise, if this is a bonus thing, I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know how it goes either way. If you never want to hear us talk about things like this again, let us know at Platin Pit. If there are show notes, our Twitter accounts are there and you can contact us there.
All the stuff's in the show notes that you expect to be in the show notes.
Yeah, all the normal good stuff. Share this around if you like found it useful. And thank you for listening, everyone.
Have a good one.